welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. We are here with the penultimate episode, which was a shock and surprise to find that out this week, of the Challenge USA. It's episode, I think, 11, and I feel confident about that because I'm surprised that we are so close to the, or maybe it's 10. I'm not confident about it. It must be 10 because you're laughing. Either way, we are here with one episode left in the season. This is the penultimate one. Ready to talk about it all. Of course, I am Matt alongside my co-host Brian Scally. Scally, how wrong am I?
Hello, hello. I'm so glad to be here for episode 10 of the Challenge
I'm
USA.
So confident.
So, yeah, you know, another episode. I think that they are looking at a 12 episode total, counting it like each hour of next week, presumably as a separate episode. So nice little round 12 episodes. Fun to be here for the penultimate week, but I guess not technically the penultimate episode of the Challenge.
12 is round. Like, 12 is a circle on a clock.
Yeah, that is fair.
Like, there's no number more round than 12.
Maybe zero.
I don't know. You said, because I was about to like bounce back and be like, is 12 a round number? And I was like, wait, actually, it's like the most round number.
I don't know.
But I had the number 11 in my head because I was like, wow, this season's only going to be 11 episodes. But that makes sense what you said, if it's going to be 11 and 12 next week. But it's like, we did not know this was going to wrap up so quick. We maybe speculated, like, you know, Survivor's coming up and you know, Big Brother's going to be ending. And who knows what they're trying to fit in with the schedule here. So it makes sense. But it just, I don't know, I didn't see it happening so soon. Next week, after next week, we're done.
Yeah, we mentioned it briefly on the podcast actually last week that people had speculated or seemed to be talking about this being the second to last week of it. I was skeptical, only thinking that like, oh, are they going to do a male and female elimination in the same week? Because I couldn't see them only having an hour-long final, but thank God they are. I'm very glad about that. So see, things are looking up in that manner that we will not be watching, you know, two different parts in two different weeks of a final and spread out over multiple episodes. Like, nope, just 1 hour, get in, get out.
I mean, look at some of the people that are going to be competing in this final. And, you know, we don't need to see an hour of them suffering. It's no. Just, you know, a lot's been made of like the people that are going to this final and so, or that seem to be the guys are locked in at this point, right? Yeah, the guys are pretty much
they
locked
are.
In. And it's just, you know, we're going to see some struggling out there. Kayla, you know, can hype herself or all of them up as much as she wants and be like, we're ready for this. It's going to be tough. We know TJ's finals. They're going to be brutal. But you're going to all fall apart, and except for Angela, I guess, and we're going to have to watch it.
Yeah, good luck in the final next week, because I'm curious to see. I feel like the challenges have been like maybe 75% of the challenges on MTV, maybe 80% in some cases, but I'm wondering if this final is going to be all out like some MTV ones, or even over there you see occasionally they're not so intense anymore. So curious to see where it falls on the scale.
Yeah, we'll see. For now, we have, again, this penultimate episode where we have a men's elimination day, and we're going to lose one of the most pivotal players of the season. Very sad to see David Alexander go and, you know, watch the journey of his three-season arc come to an end with such a bang. Cut me off when I'm being too sarcastic, but
I mean, can you think of many players that come back on reality TV three times and improve their placement every time they come back?
Did he do that?
Yeah, I mean, I would presume so. If you're only looking at the men's side, I would say that he is.
Is Enzo about to do that as well?
If Enzo gets first place exactly.
I'm saying, like, I tweeted yeah, but he this, got... but people are asking if he could beat CT in elimination. I heard them. I'm just, you know, doing the research for them. I'm not sure.
Yeah, my mentions were full of people asking if Enzo is a lock against CT in any elimination.
So you never
know. It's still on the table for him as well.
It is. I mean, the man is now 3-0 in eliminations.
Look at him.
I don't know where I am. I don't know how I got here. What a weird day. Well, that was technically yesterday. Today was a weirder day. I mean, especially in the land of Dom and Colin, our thoughts are with Dom and, you know, everybody that Dom knows in his life for what went down today. Rest in peace to the Queen.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure.
I also didn't know how to process any of that. I was like, I don't know what this means. Well, I know what it means, but I don't know what this means. But I feel like we can't be on the Dom and Colin podcast and not make mention of it. And then Enzo's 3-0.
He might have.
What'd you say?
Said I think he might have.
Colin would not have let him. So
there you go. There you go.
What else weird is happening? Like in this time in our lives. A lot, everything. But Enzo, yeah, 3-0 in eliminations. We are seeing that this alliance of the Survivor guys and the Big Brother girls are sticking together, and we're going as far as we can with it right now. I mean, we had this challenge here where we ended up seeing Ben and Angela win, Angela being the only one to finish it. So, you know, that alliance staying in power here, but we still do have one more women's elimination before we get to the final. So that's going to be, you know, at the beginning of next week's episode. We'll have to see how that all plays out. But again, this alliance sticking together.
Yeah, definitely has legs, even if they were tested this week and some people wanted to break them. But the alliance is definitely, you know, there's no reason for it to break on paper. Definitely tested this week, at least.
And the sad part for me is like watching Desi be like, I think I'm in this now. And it's like, I don't know if you are.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like theoretically she's on the board, but I'm having trouble seeing it edit-wise.
The episode opens off with the Fab Five is not the Fab Five anymore because Desi went against it, or, you know, blah blah blah, and obviously Cachet is gone. So Sarah's like, just here with my other best friends that were still, you know, but it's Team Sarah, but I'm still looking out for Justine and Kayla. And I'm like, again, this season, you know, it's like the most random collection of people, but like Kayla from The Amazing Race, Justine from Love Island, and Sarah Lucina locked in a bathroom dancing, you know, about their placement in the game as if it's a good one. And I don't know what to do with this.
Oh my God, get Justine off of Team Sarah ASAP. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is still just a like marriage of convenience, quote unquote. I don't know if anyone is really going out of their way. Let's say a challenge pops up next week where they get to help each other again, just like the last women's challenge week. I don't know that all the three of them are really sticking together so tightly anyway.
Yeah, it's we're down to it. So whatever happens from this point, you know, anybody is going to turn against anybody. There's no, you know, MTV, like when you look at the MTV challenge, like even sometimes at, like this late in the game, you have like some really tough decisions about who's going to go in and what this means and who they work together with all season long. And they really, you know, because they know this is their career. And if they screw somebody over at the end of the season, then it will come back to bite them next season. This is kind of a gamble this whole season. You know, maybe it'll happen again, but I don't think anybody's out here playing for next season. They're playing for this one and for the win and for themselves for the most part. So yeah, I would not be surprised if we see like Sarah turning on Kayla next week or whatever happens there. So, it's also like this alliance came out of nowhere last week, so it's certainly not something that I'm keeping my eye on. The big alliance is much more the storyline going into this last episode.
I also think we're going to have far fewer, at least challenge career hopefuls on the CBS challenge than on the MTV version, where I think pretty much every person that goes on there is hoping to be on for years and years. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think some of the challenge CBS people are coming like, oh, this will be fun once or twice, and then I can walk away.
Not David. David Alexander's exit interview with Rob and Brian came out, at least as far as I saw it, like an hour before we hopped on here to record. So I was able to, you know, squeeze in that 10-minute watch. And David was like, oh, yeah, like I'm training a lot this summer. I'm really, you know, getting ready for whatever's next, whether it's, you know, the this or that or the MTV or the, I'm like, yeah, they're, you know, actually, they might call you. They really might.
They really might. They really, really might. He was on the rumored list for MTV for a little bit, so don't get too comfortable.
I mean, his what season was he on? He was on BB 20, yeah, with Tommy and
oh God,
right?
yeah, Tommy and Sis.
Tommy and Sis are both on the next challenge, so
pass.
So who knows? Okay, well. That's that. So where do we want to start? I mean, I guess we'll start kind of back at the beginning of the episode where we get a, you know, preview here of the Benzo of it all. That's going to be the downfall in this episode. We got hints about the Benzo of it all last week, but I guess this is really what's keeping Ben sane. I mean, bravo to Ben. Shout out to him for getting far away from, or as far away as possible from Sarah. Going towards anybody else would have worked, and he found Enzo. That's fine.
Yeah, he's leaning on Enzo and Angela, it seems. In Enzo, they formed the Bald Eagle Brothers. Pass on that name. Mm-hmm. But Benzo, much better than Bald Eagle Brothers. So Benzo, a...
Get it, yo, because they're bald, yo.
An alliance I would not say I saw coming. I know that they're of a similar age, but I didn't know that I saw these personalities meshing extremely well. I think I saw Dom and Enzo a little bit more, but hey, maybe the three of them can have a good time together.
Enzo will hang around anybody who will just laugh at his nonsense. Like, that's just how he operates. And Ben's certainly that person. I mean, not to say that, like, Dom won't laugh at him, but, like, I don't know. Dom's more of, from what it seems like, you know, especially in these games, like, just so serious, like, just, you know, he's focused on the game. He's focused on, you know, making sure that he's not going into these eliminations, because he's obviously worried. He's of the guys remaining, you know, hard to say he's not. I mean, Enzo's still there, but, you know, one of the weaker competitors left, just compared to the field. So I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see Dom taking himself, like, kind of seriously here and putting himself in with, like, the Tysons and the Dannys of the challenge, where they're more like chill and relax and hanging out, whereas Enzo and Ben, I think, are probably more likely to be goofing around. So I guess when you point it out like that, it does make more sense.
I don't know. I don't know if any of this makes sense, but we can pretend it does. just, you know, more about Angela and Ben have been playing together. And as we're going to see throughout the episode, just again, it continues to piss Sarah off because, you know, and I also tweeted about this. It's just like, this was an episode where Sarah kind of disappeared and Angela was thriving the entire way through. The Angela army is rising. Like, it's, you know, I was like, you know, a couple weeks ago, like, I might be rooting for Angela just because she's against Sarah. And then, like, it's turned into, like, no, I think I'm actually rooting for Angela just in general, in addition to because she's, you know, against Sarah. And now I'm seeing, like, everybody on Twitter kind of, like, jumping on board. I'm like, So, I mean, there's a good chance that in a couple of weeks we all just agree to forget about this, and I would be fine with that. But either way, this is kind of where we are now, and I don't know if you're there, that's fine if you're not, but we need to just live in it and acknowledge it.
I am taking my screenshots for a couple weeks when you all try to forget about it, but I am definitely seeing, like you said, the Angela army pop up from people that I would not have expected it to. I can admit that Angela has been definitely more entertaining on this season than I think she ever managed to be on Big Brother. And I think that's partially just who she's against, where this happens so often on reality TV, where people were, like, I mean, loosely rooting for Faute with them being the underdogs. And here I think that Angela has just found a spot where the person that she's against is coming off as less likable. Though, when I polled one of my friends who is not a, like, regular CBS watcher, is someone who came into this only, like, totally blind, like, coming in having no knowledge of any of these people, when I asked who the villains of the season were, they did answer that they could see Tyson and Angela being the villains. So, surprising to me, but maybe that's what the people were thinking.
I mean, villains or main characters, like, whatever. And sometimes that can be both, but certainly main characters here. The alliance that was created between the two of them at the beginning of the season has really held all the way through and seems to be holding all the way through, unless, you know, we have a shock elimination from Angela, you know, going out right before the final. I can't see that happening. She's been, you know, too strong and too focused and too much of a character to lose her right before the final. I feel like, you know, the story is going to be, can these two pull it off, or will there be an upset, is really what it's been like. And you know, the thing for me is, like, you know, as I'm comparing her to, you know, the people that she played the game with on Big Brother 20, you have Tyler and Casey. You know, so both of them have come back many times for Casey and one time for Tyler. And I can't use the excuse of, like, you know, well, Angela's just playing around sucky people, because Tyler played with an entire cast of sucky people on BB22, and that didn't make him look any better.
And on BB20.
BB20. But in his return appearance, he was, you know, part of a group that was not fun to root for. He himself was doing things in the season that were completely unrootable. And I did not walk away from the season a fan in any way, shape, or form. And Casey has just been, you know, she's on all of these shows with many unlikable people where, you know, you have the opportunity to kind of stand out. And as much as I do ship her and Nani because I think that they're great for each other, as an individual, I'm still not, you know, team Casey. And here Angela has made me, you know, enough of a fan within 10 episodes that I'm sitting here, you know, rooting for her to win. And I would be totally fine to see her again. She's just, you know, it's like that quiet, cutthroat nature about her. It's you know, I think she had it on Big Brother, but maybe it was like she was surrounded in this unlikable, not unlikable alliance. Like people were kind of rooting for them because they were so dominant. Am I misremembering BB20? I mean, Faute was terrible, so it was easy to root against them. I don't know.
People just felt resigned.
Maybe, yeah. Anything. But like, I remember this nature about her that, you know, the same thing that we're seeing here, but now it's just even like more fun and it's easier to appreciate because she's going against a literal insane person and getting the best of them. And you know, it's in this challenge environment where she's the only one completing the challenge. And you know, when you get that respect from TJ and you're just showing that you're here to compete and you're able to compete and do this challenge, which yes, I get it, I guess it was harder than it looked on TV, but you showed up and you competed and you're doing well in the confessionals. And this is why she's, you know, amassing way more of a following than you ever would have expected going into the season. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say she's like jumping off the screen in confessionals, but I just think in like both of them, she has probably the same level of energy, but on the challenge, she's allowed to be like a little more of an asshole and it's playing well. So I think that is what was ultimately missing from Big Brother, where they're like, can you repeat this line like 10 more times? And she gives them no more energy, you know, throughout. Mm-hmm. So I think that it just plays better on the challenge.
And she talks about, you know, she likes to compete as an individual. I mean, when she was on Big Brother, it was just, it became the Tyler and Angela of it all, which, and you know how Big Brother carries, you know, their showmances into like, you know, beating you to death with them. And here, you know, she's by herself as much as she's, you know, working with Tyson and working with the guys and whatever. She's, you know, she's there for herself. She's competing for herself and she's, you know, not tied to anybody else. And, you know, I don't know. She's getting these confessionals where she's like, you know, kind of just pulling the punches on every single person that's like upset with her for playing a good game. All right, Sarah, like you win something. All right, David, you win something. Like, and she has, you know, the ability to back it up because she is winning everything.
Yeah, I do think that we are at the point where I do not believe the appearance fees were equal across this entire cast by any means. And I don't know that Angela was at the top, like the very top of the list. I think that she has like, you know, relative popularity with the showmance factor, but still like they didn't have her on BB All Stars for a reason. And so they decided to bring her back here. And I think that she could get a little bit more money in the appearance fee should they do a season two.
I absolutely expect that would be the case. She was definitely somebody that just kind of like filled in a spot on this cast. I mean, look at our draft. What did she like? I got her in like the sixth round or something like that, like second, like very much towards the end. And it was like, you know, this couldn't hurt to add her to my team. And now looking at it, of course, if we did another draft for a season two of this tomorrow and she was on the cast, she'd probably be certainly in the top four picks, you know, maybe one or two. With how she's showing out.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's fair. So I think that she like could hold her own on the MTV challenge. I do think that Angela has been very impressive to this point.
I don't know how she would interact with like who's over there, Anissa and Tori and Kayla.
See, like, but I'm just thinking about like Angela talking shit about some of them, and I'm like, that would be fun. So, like,
it would
I
be.
Could take the shady confessionals. Like, I think some of them need a rival, and I don't think that Angela would, like, fall in line with every person there. I think that, obviously, she would, you know, throw her lot in with the Big Brother crew, and by extension, that means, like, a good number of other people, but I feel like we still might get some shady confessionals.
I'm just imagining that instead of instead, like if Angela had this like game with what she's trying to do with Alyssa here, like imagine she was on the main challenge and had that going with like Michelle Fitzgerald, like that would be that would be a lot. That would be good. And maybe in the future. Maybe it's in the future for us, but who knows?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the challenge, the most exciting challenge of the season here. It was called Code Crossing. You had a bunch of pegs. You needed to use them to get across this fast-moving vehicle, as is typical on these challenges. And it was, again, very exciting, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think even if it was successful, it wouldn't have been exciting. So for it to have failed so miserably, I think just made it basically unwatchable.
At first, I thought Tyson was being, you know, kind of like a little sore loser when he was like, you think anyone's going to do this? Like, just because he didn't do it. But then I was like, oh, wait, no, he actually like, see, this is a hard challenge. And looking at the people that are here, like, very unlikely that it gets finished.
Yeah, and I think that while Angela is very good, I think that helped very majorly by being able to watch any number of people. We don't know exactly where she went in the order. Obviously, it could be edited out of order. But I think that anyone watching people go over and over and learning from their mistakes definitely had a major advantage in this challenge. That is probably like really unfair.
Yeah. David, in his exit interview, did make it sound like this was the most in order it has been all season. So I don't know if that means exactly in order or what, but
well, I know
this was close.
Yeah, I know that Tyson, I mean, they said it on the episode, but Tyson in his podcast, like last week, even got ahead of it. Like, in case they don't show it, like I was had to go again first. And like, that is a big problem. So they definitely did go first, at least.
Have you realized, I mean, David, I think, again, said it in the exit interview, but I feel like maybe somebody else pointed it out recently that like Tyson has slipped so much in this season. Like he was starting so strong and now he hasn't like been doing very well in any of the recent challenges.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. I think it probably just comes down to skill set and the challenges. I think that, again, had Tyson gone like in a later heat, he probably could have performed pretty well here. And probably similarly, I'm very interested to know why he didn't do super well last week, because I feel like he is like through and through a distance runner, and that's what the stadium running challenge seemed to be all about. So curious why he did poorly there. He even said that like he just threw a block on whatever like the closest board was to the entrance rather than like going and actually making a move, because they were required to throw blocks, yada yada. So I'm curious as to why that one he came a little further in. But you know, going early in some of these heats has been pretty unlucky as well.
Yeah, I mean, there was like, there's like part of me that wonders, like, well, is he, you know, like you look at like a Michael and Big Brother right now, and it's like, well, once you start winning a lot, maybe do you try to purposely tone it back a little bit? But I think at this point, he was kind of like, for the majority of the way through the season, he's probably in this world where he's like, I should just keep trying to win and keeping people on my side and not wanting to get rid of me. Like, especially the women would not want to get rid of him because they want to have him as a final partner. And the guys are just going to be so afraid of going against him because he's doing so well. So this is a show where, you know, you can Cara Maria your way all the way through, and you know, people don't want to put you into elimination because they don't want to face you in elimination. She went four seasons without having to go in, so I can see that, but I don't know. I mean, either way, yeah, this is where we are.
I don't think there's a world in which he was throwing. I also just think like whether you win the first three in a row and then no more, or you win like three over the course of the season, like kind of luck of the draw. I feel like how many other people have actually won three challenges this season, only Angela with four, right? So it's like, yeah, sure, it was front loaded, but no one else has really even come close on the guy's side.
Right. And none of it matters until you get to the end and that last, you know, final itself. So we'll see how that all goes. We had two DQs in the challenge, unless I'm forgetting someone. Sarah fell off, as did Kayla, who, you know, turned it into a parade float, as Enzo described, waving to everybody as she passed by. So that was unfortunate, but I guess her journey.
Yeah, very funny to watch her just like hanging off the side, waving to everyone. Enzo's confessional was funny. Very funny that Sarah thought that she could just like monkey bars it across. Like, I don't know in what world that works. I just feel like that is a wild strategy. But sure, like, feel free. I just feel like it was, even just looking at the board, I was trying to like, I was watching like with a friend, so it was kind of, you know, not as much attention as I usually would like be paying to every second of the challenge on my first watch. But it was, I thought, fairly obvious that you should be setting up the foot pegs, but not everyone figured that out, obviously.
I know, especially, I mean, after seeing the way that Angela did it, I was like, duh. And then I'm like, but all these people seem to have gone before her and did not realize that, so.
Yeah. I was just imagining, like, you have to put weight on one. You have to, like, push it out. Your foot's going to push it up. Whatever. Yeah. It seemed odd.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else from this challenge? Obviously, Angela is going to be the only one who finishes it. And TJ is very, you know, appreciative of that because they got to have the, you know, the smoke come out of that piece at the top and show off the cool challenge design that they had put together there. So, you know, glad that one person could get it done. And Desi, again, being like, well, I didn't get it, but my new ally did. And I'm like, Desi, I don't know about that, but sure.
I do think Desi made it the second farthest overall in this challenge, though. So, like, pretty impressive still. Again, I think indicative of going in a later heat being, like, a major advantage. But I think Desi probably made it the second furthest overall from what we got to
see. That's what it seemed like, for sure.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell what was going on in the men's side. You know, we couldn't see who was going the farthest, who wasn't. I don't know why Dom was so confident in himself that he was going to be the winner there. That was, I don't know where that came from. It ended up being Ben that did the best and David that did the worst. Again, did you have any idea throughout the entire challenge of like who was possibly doing the best or?
Again, watching with a friend and but who was not a usual watcher, but in the rewatching especially, I was like looking, knowing that like okay, none of these guys actually make it. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it was between Ben and Dom for the win. So I do think Dom was up there, mostly because like David and Tyson were out immediately. Like Danny like did okay. But I think it really came down to those two.
Yeah. Again, ends up being Ben that wins. So when we go back to the house for this deliberation, we're going to have the two winners, allies here, Angela and Ben, making this big decision where David is the one that is going to be facing off against whoever they choose to go in. We're going to see, you know, how, you know, just like any other deliberation, like who do you want to go in? Who do you think? Who do you this and that? I thought it was funny because Ben was like, who's one person that you would want to go in against? And David's like, well, here's two people, Tyson or Dom. No, he said one. Who do you want? Whatever. Point being, David wanted one of the Survivor guys. Obviously, that was not really in the cards for Angela, because she wants to protect Tyson especially. And then, you know, we get to this whole awkwardness between Angela and Ben, because if it's not a Survivor guy, it's going to be Enzo going in, and Ben doesn't want Enzo going in. So what do we do here?
Yeah, interesting. I was surprised to see Ben pushing back on, like, not throwing in Enzo so quickly. I did not think that he would be betraying the alliance. I just feel like Ben is always the type who would stay loyal to a fault, usually. And so to see that he really, I'm sure he recognizes there are no more men's elimination days. Let me go ahead and break the alliance now because I won't be at risk next week. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But smart of Angela to push back on that.
I mean, Enzo is his friend and also somebody that he surely can beat in a final. So
yep.
It's a very easy call for him to say, I want Enzo to stay. But, you know, Ben starts to talk to us about, you know, well, this feels like it's just Angela's decision. And this kind of goes back to, you know, a week or two ago when we were talking about, you know, what happens in case of a tie or in case of them not agreeing. It's probably the person that is in power that goes in because they can't come to a decision, which ultimately makes it the other person's decision at the end of the day if they don't agree. And that's kind of what it felt like was happening here, or definitely what it felt like was happening, because Ben was pretty much by the end of the decision making, you know, caving to whatever Angela says, because if we again, otherwise Ben could have gone in, right? Am I getting that right?
Maybe. Do you think Ben should have pushed back and just like, let's see what happens? Like, I think that I'm saying, like, from Ben's perspective, is it worth like potentially making an enemy of Tyson where, like, again, you can't go in next week, so who cares if Tyson is mad at you, and like say, I want Tyson to go in and wait to see what TJ says.
I think it's certainly not worth it, because
you think so,
because we're about to be at the final, and I always
I think it is.
Say it again.
I think it might be
worth it. Okay.
Yeah.
But my philosophy is always have more friends with you in the final than not, and making someone mad right before the final is not the way to go for that. I mean, if he had a chance of actually eliminating Tyson here, go for it. But if they do, it really feels to me like they feel confident that that's the way that things would shake out if they didn't agree, that it would probably be the person in power that goes in. And again, going off of that's just in my head, the way that I'm viewing it, that if that was the case, of course, Ben is not going to ultimately want to go in. So if Angela wants Enzo, it's going to be Enzo. It's not going to be Tyson that goes in. There's no way Angela's going to allow that. And again, I think it's better to not make those big waves, which he pretty much said himself, this late in the game.
So I think that as like someone who would have to compete against Tyson in a final, my philosophy would be have less Tysons in a final at all costs. So I just think that there are seemingly, from the knowledge that like we have on the outside, it seems like they are operating with the same amount of knowledge that we are, in terms of we're guessing that's the case because of past seasons of the challenge, when I feel like the challenge is unpredictable at all times. And not having Tyson there, I think, is so valuable in a final for Ben, because I think that Ben stands a relatively good chance against pretty much everyone else. I think Danny's still probably tough, but I think that he is probably, you know, again, a bit above like an Enzo, a Dom, a David in terms of like sheer running ability, whereas Tyson, I think, outclasses him to a degree in which he cannot catch on most days. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that it's worth the risk. You just don't know. And if it truly is the case that Angela can just put her foot down and choose whoever she wants, then what's the point of having a male winner? Like, I guess you're immune and that's it. But it feels like a little bit of a flawed structure.
And on the flip side, though, back to kind of what I'm saying about not pissing people off and making waves and kind of why he ultimately landed where he landed, is you piss Angela off in this last hour, and suppose you succeed and Tyson goes in. Angela hates you. She's pissed at you, and she's not going to, I mean, she's going to still want to do as well as she can in the final, whether she's with you or not. But that's another person, regardless, whether Tyson comes back in the game and now you have both of them against you, for whatever, you know, is left to be played, you know, with your relationships with people in the house. But definitely Angela will still be there. And again, will have no interest in helping you in any way, shape or form, going down to the wire, and that's probably the partner he wants the most out of anybody left to be by his side.
Oh, it definitely is, because he even says early in the episode, he's like, as long as like me and you are running the final, like that's all I care about. And I was like, do you think that Angela's gonna pick you for the final? Because she's definitely picking Tyson. So that's where I am like curious, is did Angela make this promise that like, Ben, me and you are going to be running the final together, just on opposite teams, and just like hasn't said the quiet part out loud for that. I don't know. I'm wondering if that's the assumption he's working under and it won't actually come true. For all we know, they're not even running in pairs. They could do like matchups rotating or running completely separately for all we know. So we'll see.
Yeah, we get this scene where it's Tyson, Danny, and Angela talking, and they're, you know, the guys are definitely not even slightly concerned, because they know that this alliance is still good, and Angela doesn't even seem, again, slightly concerned that Ben's going to change anything about what's going on here. And eventually, when Ben and Angela do talk again, it's like, all right, so it's Enzo. Ben's like, yeah, no, it's fine. You know, it is what it is. You win, I lose. And then they're going to have this whole thing where they need to tell Enzo that he's going in, and as expected, Enzo doesn't take it very well. Gets pretty annoyed. I don't know. I mean, you could have gotten a worse reaction from Enzo. So, you know, it was for what you could have expected. It was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I feel like maybe we missed something here, because when Angela's talking to Tyson and Danny, she's like, oh, I told Ben like we could talk in the morning when he calms down or something. And Ben like immediately goes into apologizing. So I wonder if there was something that was cut out that we missed, where there was a little bit more of an argument in terms of who would be going in. Because once we get to the morning, it seems like Ben has just completely resigned himself to Enzo going in. Obviously, Enzo is mad. David's mad. Apparently, they're the closest ever, despite being against each other the entirety of BB22. So whatever. But they're close now, and they don't want to go against each other. They feel like it's unfair, and that Angela's been lying to them. But as Angela points out, like, I won all of those challenges, and you never kept me safe. So good luck.
Did not realize these two boys were so close. And I don't think they are. So there's that. I'm sure that they bonded in the house about, you know, they're the only two big brother guys left, you know, especially this late stage in the game. And, you know, they have played a season before that, regardless of, you know, how that went for both of them in that game together. You know, that certainly is a tie that you have to another person where I don't think either of them would have, you know, put the other in danger unless it was absolutely necessary. So, you know, they were really hoping to not have to go against each other. We see David making his plea to go against one of the Survivor guys because he felt strangely confident and he was like, all right, I'm going to take it. Well, then again, he is, you know, younger than both of them. So, you know, he's probably got something, you know, advantage wise, but Tyson's also Tyson. So I'm not going to say David has any kind of advantage over Tyson. It's just maybe like a general feeling of like, oh, well, I'm younger and more, you know, in shape, which is probably not true either way. But trying to get inside David Alexander's head, I don't really know what goes on in that thing. But yeah, so that's the relationship that these two seem to have. And obviously, as we get to the elimination and they are going to go in against each other, you know, they're both like, it's so strange because, you know, I first of all forgot that they were on the same season of Big Brother, like fully forgot, because who remembers anything from that season? Who wants to remember anything from that season? Except for Davon winning America's Favorite House Guest. And yeah, Clash of the Titans when we get down to it. I feel like I'm jumping ahead. I don't know if I'm missing anything else that happened at the house.
No, I feel like we praised last week for having so much of like there was a night out and they went on the boat and they did this, and I feel like this week we got almost none of that. Instead, again, it was a long elimination, a long challenge, and I think we just could have used some minutes elsewhere where I even said before this, I was like, all right, so like this was an episode. I think last week was much, much stronger, and that is partially due to Sarah just like willing to make like kind of an idiot of herself in the edit, and partially due to just like getting nothing outside of just challenges throughout the episode.
Right. We did get some Enzo content of him bashing Tyson, talking about how he looks like Jesus Christ. And I think he also said later on that he has a bird face. So Enzo, not a big Tyson fan, or at least in this moment. We talked about how, you know, Tyson's already got the money and, you know, he doesn't need more and all this stuff. And he was just, you know, ranting and raving about all of this. So he wasn't very happy.
Oh my God, someone from Big Brother 22 resorting to personal attacks. That is so shocking.
Yeah, I know. It's incredibly hard to believe. But this is what happens with the people from that cast. What was Ben wearing at the arena?
I could not tell you. Like, what is Ben doing? I don't know. I'm just glad that Ben was stuck in one outfit for all of Survivor.
It's like, did he hop off like a date with like like a Zoom date or something like that? Like, was he on the phone? Was he like back home? I don't know where the vest of the Newsies hat came from, but it's what he wore. You know, as we get to finding out that Enzo's the one that's going in, you get the reaction from TJ. What about Benzo? I'm like, even he knew about it. Like, it was that big of a deal. But and he insists Enzo's still, you know, Benzo's still a thing, which, no,
wait, probably not. Sure. I don't know. I feel like maybe if it came back on another season, God, if we end up with Ben and Enzo both on another season,
just presented the idea of Ben and Enzo coming back on another season.
I feel like it's so likely and I'm so sad. But I don't know. I could still see them working so together.
I liked Tyson's perspective on this, that he enjoyed how much Ben did not want to make this decision because he obviously is friends with Enzo. He points out that they're both bald, which is just, you know, Tyson rubbing it in how great of hair he has, which go for it. You have great hair. But we get to this elimination. It's balls in, a classic challenge elimination. You know, you got to switch up being on offense and defense between each round. It's five rounds, which is exhausting to watch, exhausting to play, for sure, for most challengers, especially for these two challengers. David and Enzo had a very tough time keeping their energy up and controlling their breathing throughout this entire thing. You know, again, Clash of the Titans here with these two. And I mean, it wasn't the worst elimination I've ever seen. It was definitely not even that bad, from my perspective. But it's still, at the end of the day, Enzo Palumbo and David Alexander. So what else am I, you know, what am I doing? What
are we doing? I thought it started out really weak. And probably finished pretty weak also. But I just don't think it was that exciting. I feel like we're having these like really physical eliminations on the men's side, at least, right at the end. And we have like Enzo and Leo and Enzo and David Alexander. Like, okay, sure, whatever. I am ultimately not like, you know, ever going to go back and watch this one again. But a interesting challenge for sure. I like this one perfectly fine in theory, but just, you know, we're not getting heavyweights here at the end.
Does David, I mean, I'll tell you what I think first and then you tell me what you think. I think if David had Dom as an opponent here, I think Dom beats him. He's much bigger. And I think Tyson is taller and longer. And I think he also beats David here. So
yeah. So you think David loses to everybody?
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought he lost to Enzo. I thought he was the favorite.
I did too. I thought he was going to beat Enzo. Like, maybe, I don't know. I think Ben is probably scrappier. I just don't know how big Ben is. But I do think that I came in thinking like, ooh, Enzo is about to get like walked across this elimination floor and I feel bad. And, you know, just like David might have felt pretty confident coming in where it's like him and all the over 40s, you know, except Danny. But, you know, as we said, he has like the dad energy. So I came in here thinking like, all right, well, David wins and that sucks for Enzo. But no, David kind of flopped. Enzo kind of won. Like, do you think this was more of a Enzo win or a David loss?
It was an Enzo win because as the game kept going on, like, both of them were tired. David especially was showing how tired he was. And, you know, David had the advantage early on. He got a point early on in round two, and it was like, okay, you know, we're taking a while for Enzo to get on the board here. He still hadn't been on the board. It was round four out of five when he finally got his first point, talking about Enzo there. And it got to the point where you know, like Enzo was focused on the ball, as you should be. The goal is to get the ball out of the circle, not about slamming your opponent on the ground or keeping them down. You got to get the ball out. And David seemed to not be focused on that very much towards the end. He was very focused. First of all, Enzo, you know, had a good strategy, which probably pretty, you know, sensical, of just throw the ball close to the thing, wrestle the other person away. When you get a chance to break away, you go get the ball and go from there. If David had been smarter about it, or I guess maybe just had more energy, then he would have gone for the ball as well. But he was still tying up with Enzo the entire time, and everybody was yelling at him, like, go get the ball, go get the ball. So I do think Enzo ultimately, you know, fought his way through this one. Hard to say Enzo was doing something strategic, but I'll say it. He was playing this one a little bit more strategically. And ultimately, you know, I do think it was his.
Here. The thing is, I couldn't tell if Enzo legitimately like threw it towards the thing so that he could go back in and get it and make sure that it didn't go out of bounds, or if he was taking a last ditch effort at a shot and then was just like, oh, well, it's out of play now. And TJ was like, no, it's still active. It's still active. So I would like to say good strategy, because that was my first reaction as well. But I don't know if it was intentional.
I thought David was the one doing what you said. It seemed like in his last throw in the last round, I thought David was doing that.
So David for sure did that in the last round. I just thought that Enzo was like about to get pushed out and was like, let me just shoot it, because the second I take a step out, like, it's done anyway. So Right. Let me take a shot. And if it goes in, it goes in. And then it doesn't go in. Whereas instead of being like, I'm going to do this, take the shot. If it goes in, great. And then I'm immediately going to run in. Like, I don't know if the intention of going up and like following up on the rebound was really there as much as it was like, here's my last shot. And, you know, where I think that throwing it back towards the center can be a really good strategy, like, regardless of, like, as long, especially like knowing that you're going to go follow up on it.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. Again, it is Enzo. And he's going to have a big celebration at the end. You know, lots of yo's. He's back in, yo. Fuck yous, yo. David, I love you, yo. Can't believe I just won, yo. And it's funny. He's like, you know, screaming like F you up there. And Danny's like, who is he talking to? Like, I know it's not me.
Yeah, this was really funny. I like when Enzo gets going. In like this way, at least, it was still fun. So I was happy to see Enzo stick around. I would almost like Enzo to like get second place again. No.
First, Enzo won first. He's got to keep climbing up. Third, second, first.
That would be wild. I can't see the world.
He gets Angela and they go on. to get the big money.
I still don't know if that's enough.
You did it, yo. We'll see. You and me, Angela. Yeah. Forget Tyler, yo.
Please.
David brought up in his exit interview as well that he felt so good with like Angela and Enzo. I think he was saying that they had a picture together, maybe from like sometime after the season or whatever, you know, BB22 wrap. And you know, he, you know, felt good. Like the Tyler connection was going to keep them all together, and it didn't.
Yeah. They had one picture together. I can't believe it didn't hold true for the entire season. Yeah, no, I'm not super surprised. I think the Tyler like connection makes a little more sense, but still, I think that you ought to keep checking in on those allies and not let them ultimately, you know, side against you.
Yep. So that's it. The end of the David Alexander story. And is it the end of the David Alexander story? I can't imagine it is, because he just keeps finding his way back. And I don't know what it'll be, but I don't think we've seen the last of him. And I genuinely mean that.
I feel like at a certain point, like, he has a semi-recognizable name now, and he's probably super cheap to book. Mm-hmm. So why not at a certain point?
Yeah.
And I know that MTV, they're like, they had negotiated where if you do a certain number of challenges that like your pay scale goes up. I don't know that that's in effect for the challenge CBS just yet, or USA, but, and so if it's not, can keep bringing these people back for dirt cheap over and over.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't think it's the last that we've seen him. I think they will find a way to bring him back. It's like, you know, when I binge watched the challenge, and the whole challenge, you know, seasons that I had not watched before I started watching a couple years back, there are people that would be back on seasons. They'd be like, how did they, like, or why is this person back again and again and again? Like, they don't bring anything to the show, but they just keep getting called back. And it could be what you said, you know, just they're cheap to bring on, and you know, it's, you get them there, and you know, whatever happens, happens. They're perfectly capable of being a television character, not the best television character, but they are a person that fills one of, you know, 24 or 32 spots. And I can see that being David. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But Enzo's going to continue. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I'm sure we'll go more into this next week, but as far as the men that are eliminated, who do you think is more likely to come back than David Alexander?
Kyland.
Yep.
Derek X.
Oh, maybe.
Cinco. Xavier. James?
Cashel, you think all of those people, Giovanni, are more likely?
Leo? No. I mean, most of them. I think for sure Kyland, for sure Derek X, he's literally on another show right now. Cinco, yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
No.
Xavier, for sure. He's a winner. James showed a lot on this season. I mean, Leo, for sure.
I don't agree. I high key don't agree. I think it's Kyland and then Derek, and then like Derek and David are in the conversation for 2 and 3. Honestly, I think that's who we are most likely to see on a future season. I can see James, I can see Xavier, I can see Cinco, but I think that Kyland is number one, easy, followed by, you know, David, Derek, or James probably.
Okay. Well, we're not going to agree on that one. As much as I'm sitting here saying I think we'll see him again, I still think a lot of those people are higher on the list.
I hope.
Enzo's back in the game, and he, or is, he's not back in the game. He didn't leave the game. And he now has the most money in the house, so that's cool, yo.
Look at that.
It's pretty crazy.
Under Angela.
Okay, sure. I mean, that makes sense. She's won a lot, so. But I thought TJ said he had the most. Maybe men of the guys.
Most for the men.
Okay. Supersized finale next week, which I guess, like, we expect 2 hours. I don't know if it was 90 minutes or 2 hours, probably 2 hours.
Yeah, I think it's 2 hours. I think we get an hour of a women's elimination episode and then an hour that's just the finale.
Yeah. So that's it. That's where we're at. One more episode to go. We're going to see a one more women's elimination, and then either a final with 10 people, or we will, you know, do one of the usual things that we do in that kind of setting, and maybe get rid of two right off the bat, or get rid of four, and go to, you know, they always find a way to cut a few people before you get to the very end. But we also did All Stars Finals with 5 teams, which they also kind of did cut people during that one as well. So that's what I imagine we have in store for us, but only one way to find out, and that's watch the challenge next week on CBS.
So, couple bets. We have one more women's elimination. Who do you think's going?
So I feel like it's highly likely to be one of the Fab Fivers, which is now Fab Threers. I don't think Angela's not making the final. I think Desi's in it for the long haul. And I feel like Alyssa, has enough of a story as well to be there. So I don't think Sarah's going home. So it comes down to Kayla or Justine. Kayla just had the confessional being like, I'm ready for it, I'm ready for it. It would be heartbreaking to lose Justine, but she has no story. So that's kind of where I feel like we'll be going.
I feel like she has, I wouldn't say no story, but probably the least, maybe her and Kayla, on the women's side. So I do think that if I were betting, I would probably bet on Justine, but I don't like it.
I certainly don't like it. But it's kind of, what just happened with David of just like, there's really nothing, no story there. And, we're going into the final with people that we know who they are and what they're doing here. And Justine is only getting confessionals every so often, being like, I'm here to represent Love Island. And it's like, that's exciting. I wish you got more content.
Yeah, I will say also, now that we are going into the final week, remind me to never listen to a TJ preseason interview ever again. because where he's like, oh, these are the people that I was impressed by or I'm excited by. Like, oh, they're all still here? Shocking. Like, that's so interesting how that worked out, huh?
I remember him saying Danny and Tyson, but I don't remember who else.
Oh my God. Many of the names that are on this list still
Okay.
here.
I was thinking before about the poster. I was looking at the poster. It's got Derek X and Tiffany on TJ's right, and then you have Tyson and Shan on the left, and three of them are gone, so at least the poster didn't give a whole lot away.
And three of them were gone pretty early.
Yeah.
So,
Well, if you redid the poster now, it would be still Tyson with Angela behind him, and then Danny and Kiki on the other side.
I like that. I would be down for that.
That'd be a good poster. And then, all right, I guess we have to do our finale, final predictions. Is that what's
Yeah.
next before we wrap this up?
That was the next one.
Okay, you go first.
All right. I mean, the head pick. It's Tyson and Angela, I feel like. I would be pretty surprised if anyone else won. I actually think I'm going to change that.
What?
Or, yeah, are you Tyson and Angela?
You can't trick me into you not going first. You said you go first.
Don't know. I really am debating changing it. I'm locked in on Angela. I just don't see a world in which it's not Angela. It could be Sarah, and I don't want it to be, but it could be. I still think it's Angela. I'm debating between Tyson and Danny right now.
Tyson and Danny. It's funny because I thought you were going to say Tyson and Ben, who is kind of where, leaning here. I mean, when it comes down to it, on the just to narrow the field down for my side of this, I think I already narrowed it down to this last week, and I'm going to keep it here. It's Ben, Danny, or Tyson. When you look at their seasons as a whole, of course, Tyson is like the top contender, has the story, has the endurance for a final. Ben has had a lot of personal content later on in the game, and it's been like building up to, but I also could see Ben's story playing out exactly how it has a lot of the season, and he finishes like second. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's his story, but also wouldn't be surprised if he ultimately wins, and that would make me hate everything. I don't know what to do if we get a Ben win. And then for Danny, we haven't seen a whole lot of like, oh, Danny is one to look out for this season, but it's hard to ignore like the Kiki of it all that's just been present in every single episode. It's like, why are we hearing so much about Kiki if we shouldn't be paying super close attention to Danny and liking him so much? So that's like the only thing that he has going in his favor going into the final. I think ultimately, if I have to pick, of course, I have to pick one. I still do have to go with Tyson because he is the guy of the season. Unless you want to go with Tyson and I'll take Ben just for the
No, I'm gonna go Tyson. I'm gonna go Danny and Angela.
Okay, then I'll keep Tyson. But I'm not going to differ from you on the women's side because I don't. I mean, again, when you narrow the field down, I'm taking Kayla and Justine out of the picture. As much as I would have loved to see it be Desi, I don't feel like we're leading there. I feel like she's been, shown to be a very active participant in the game and whatnot, and it just doesn't feel like this is the Desi story that I wish it could be. So you have Alyssa and Angela and Sarah left. Sarah, I still have as a top contender just because of, what I know she's capable of. All of those marathons that she ran in her real life. It's just this season she's been looking like such a clown, so the edit is not in her favor. But and the challenge is she's not been, performing the greatest, but The final's going to, probably going to be, the men and women paired up, and there's a lot of guys on that side that I feel like she can work with if she needs to. So I do think she's the easy number two that I have behind Angela right now, putting Alyssa at number three. Angela just can do everything, and it would be, this is hers to lose.
If I could handpick like who my rooting interests are, it's Tyson and Justine, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Justine would be the rooting interest, but my realistic
Ooh.
rooting interest is going to be Angela.
Wow. All right. Well, wow.
I don't, it's not there.
Justine has one less confessional than Angela, so.
Every confessional from Justine has been, I'm doing it for Love Island.
Well, good, as she should.
It's been that, and what else has she said? I love Selly.
Yeah, she was sad when Sally left.
She might have gotten 14 confessionals in that episode alone to catch up to Angela. I'm just missing Selly. I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that they were hiding her from us and she's coming on strong in this last episode.
Maybe.
Oh,
So that's all that we have for now. Yeah, the challenge wraps up next weekend, and we will get some kind of break in between this and season 38 because didn't know what the break was going to be, but clearly 38 has not been, being promoted yet, so we're still eyeing maybe another month or two before that one gets going. So challenge, month long streak, it's been going for a while now, comes to an end, which is funny because I saw Challenge Stats had put out a stat saying that it has been like the longest layoff from season 37 to, to now, that they've had in a very long time. But
I
they've
think it's
obviously,
since season 1 to 2.
yeah, it was something like since a very long time ago. But obviously they filled it with, two other challenges that are just not the regular MTV challenge. So we've still had challenge, but we have had a very nice break from like Fezzy and Casey.
Fessy and Casey, how dare you, equal elimination records to Enzo now.
Wow.
But yep, that is the case.
Well, what else you got?
That's it.
Okay. What else do you have going on that people can check out between now and when they hear us again next week?
What else do I have going on? I'm on Twitter at Brian underscore Scally. I got to talk about the penultimate episode, not week, but the penultimate episode of Claim to Fame with Rob and Jenny and
No
Asia. That was a ton
spoilers.
of fun. Yeah, no spoilers, but the finale is already out. So if you have not listened to both of those, go ahead and catch up. Definitely a ton of fun talking about Claim to Fame. Also here, obviously. And then I will actually be on the slop this week talking with Rob about everything going on in the Big Brother universe. So that should be a lot of fun, and people should check that out.
Not that I would ever get invited to do the slop, but I would never want to do the slop because there's like, tell me if I'm crazy, but like, I feel like there's so much pressure for that one. Like, Rob,
Yeah, thanks. Let's put more
like
pressure on.
the chosen few that are there to do the slop, and like, you have to be funny the whole time with Rob. I mean, no pressure for you.
Not at
But
all.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it,
Well.
and it's fine because I won't be asked to do it. I think I did. I don't know if it was the slop or whatever. Whatever I did, like, was it the slop? No, like in the early iterations of something that like that's where Chappelle and I had
AQNA?
first ever interacted on a podcast. What was that?
It's like a BBQNA or
Something
something.
like that, yeah. And I was like with him as like people were calling in and stuff, and that was like I'd pretty much met Chappelle on that podcast as we talked about
Might have been a
Bernays.
slop.
A flop?
Might have been a slop.
Did you call me a flop? I am.
No, I did not call you a flop. Calm down.
Okay. I'm not doing anything else right now except for breathing air in real life again because summer
It's good.
ends and I have free time again somewhat. So I have started Survivor South Africa, which I'm about 9 episodes into, and I have started Claim to Fame, which I'm about already halfway done with. 1.5 is a powerful drug and I take a lot of it. So I will be caught up in no time and enjoying that, and then enjoying, as we wrap up the season next week. So excited for that.
Yeah, enjoy Claim to Fame. I'm excited to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, they have like, I'm not going to spoil it. They have like big name people on there.
Yeah, those are some big name celebrities, huh?
Like, I wasn't expecting some of them. So it has been fun, and the season has been fun, and this one also has been mostly fun, with some exceptions in challenges and people and whatever. But that's it. One more week to go. We're all done. Almost done. Almost out of here.
Yep, yep.
All right. Thank you guys for checking this one out. Always appreciate you spending your 1 hour with us here, as we will generally always keep these under an hour, besides a couple times. So thank you for checking this one out. We'll see you next week with the Challenge USA final. Until then, take care.